Our brother David has asked that we would take two readings which are in connection with this subject for exhortation this morning. Those being Deuteronomy chapter 8 and chapter 9 to verse 6, which our brother Ian will lead us in reading, and Hosea chapter 8, our brother Philip. The word of exhortation, I call upon Brother David Clark. Brother David.
Dear brethren and sisters of the faith of Abraham, I thought it might be rather remiss of us if we should leave the writings of Moses, which we are about to do, without having a look at the man and his work, the great man Moses. As Christ said, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. A long time after the days of Moses, 700 years before Christ, the Spirit through the prophet Hosea, speaking to the northern kingdom, said, I have written to Ephraim, the 10 tribes, the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. Strong language. Again, I drew them, Ephraim, when they were children, when Israel was a child. I drew them with the cords of a man, with bands of love. So the Spirit speaks of the mission of Moses and the ministry of the law as the cords of a man and bands of love. And true it was. Relative to the man, we read the following. About Moses. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh to his friend. And Yahweh said, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. Why? With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently. Not in dark speeches, and the similitude of Yahweh shall he behold. Brethren and sisters, there never was another. All the prophets from Moses, God spake to them, Israel, through their mouth, but never face to face. Neither did they personally behold the glory of the similitude of Yahweh. What a man was Moses. And we read that when he went in beyond into the holy to stand before the veil and commune with the presence of God in the midst of the cherubim, O thou that dwellest in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. He heard the voice of one communing with him from the midst of the cherubim. Moses, the man of God, the servant of Yahweh, never another like him until the Christ appeared. So what was the cause of a man? And what were the bands of love? There were, as our brother read to you this morning, the giving of the law was the first big development of the covenants of promise in the national economy of Moses. That was the first big development of the kingdom of God upon the earth. Prior to that, they were only tribes and a small people. But now, thou shalt be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So Moses was to be the founder of a national economy in the Abrahamic covenant of the things of the truth in a great national economy, in the giving of the law. The law was added because of transgressions was born. Added to what? Added to the Abrahamic covenant. And the specific purpose of the law? It was a schoolmaster. It was to educate Israel in the things of the truth, in the glories and mysteries of the Abrahamic covenant. Thus says Micah, according to the days of the coming out of the children of Israel, so will I yet again do marvelous things. What a 40 years it was. One of the world's, I would say the world's greatest drama. And so it was a schoolmaster system. But were they all educated? Did they all learn? The end of Moses' life in the plains of Moab. Oh, that they were wise. They are a nation void of counsel. And in the general, ineducable. Couldn't learn. And thus it was, although the gospel was preached to them. Paul says, the Spirit sware in his wrath that they should not enter into his rest. Now the law was a shadow. It pointed forward. It had no end in itself. It had no focal point. For 1600 years there were priests and offerings. There was an evening morning lamb. And on it went and on it went. And many prophets and kings said Christ to his disciples, have desired to see the days in which he lived, but have not seen them. All look forward, forward, forward. And in order to look forward, they look back to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word. They all said, he is coming, he is coming, he is coming. But none of them, even John, said, I am he. And so there was an evening, morning lamb burned on the altar. Changes took place, and but the temple services was there. And in the end, the substance of the law came. I knew him not, says John, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And when John knew who he was, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He came to fulfill the law in himself. He came not to destroy the law, but he came to take away the Aaronic ministry in the animal sacrifices, that it might be substantiated in himself. And thus the law was substantiated in the body of Christ. It was made an offering for sin. It lay in the tomb for 3 days and was resurrected to spirit, glory, and life. And the substance of the law is now in heaven. Thus the law was added to the Abrahamic covenant because of transgression, and when it was fulfilled, it was subtracted. He taketh away the first, taking away, subtracted, adding and subtracting. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. So what was the law? The law was the ministry of the Abrahamic covenant in Moses. And the New Testament is the ministry of the Abrahamic covenant in Christ. That's the teaching of the Bible, brothers and sisters. So shall we look at Moses, the ministry of the gospel in the law? I'm sure we all need it. I do. I need strength. I feel the weakness and the hardness of the way. The lack of fellowship, the dullness of life, and an age that is hard and illiterate and cold. There seems to be little of the Spirit in anything, yet it's all here. So like the Israelites of old, we try to eat the manna. This is the sustaining power. Nothing can ever take the place of a sound understanding of the Word of God. That alone is your chart and your compass over the turbulent oceans of life to the harbor of the kingdom of God. And thus we come to the gospel was preached unto Israel, but it didn't profit them. Shall we look at how? How is the gospel? Well, first of all, Moses was called. Now Exodus 3. If you will, just look at it a little. This is where the gospel was preached. And Moses asked the question, brethren and sisters, when I go to the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of the Elohim of your father has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say? Now, brethren and sisters, here is the gospel. It is for me anyway. It is profound, it is substantial, but oh, how powerful! It is the first record in the things of Moses of that which you and I most need, the life beyond the grave, the end of the mortal state of life, the end of the power of death. Manifestation of the eternal spirit in the flesh of Abraham, the consubstantiality of the Abrahamic seed with the Father himself. Can you ask for more? There's nothing more to give. There's no higher ambition. There is no higher attainment. How was it expressed? I spake by similitudes and visions. It's up to us to penetrate those similitudes and visions. The reward is in ratio and in proportion to the effort performed. Fair, quite fair. And this is what he was told to say. And Elohim said to Moses, now you must forgive me, and you must try and learn it for yourselves if you don't understand it. He said, Eyeh, Asher, Eyeh. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Eyeh hath sent me unto you. The name, the holy name, Eyeh, which the Spirit superimposed upon himself as the great name by which he was to be known as the Savior of his people. I will be who I will be. Here is the beginning of the grand doctrine of God manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of Godlikeness which was manifest in the flesh. I will be who I will be. Note the distinction. Please note it. Not I will be who they shall be. No, no, no. Israel had nothing whatever to do with this. I will become, if you will, whom I will become. The heir of Yeshurun was going to manifest himself in one who at the moment was called the who. Singular, plural, masculine, feminine, but mystical. The great question down through the prophets until he was manifested is, was, and is, who is the who? That was the mystery. Who will be Emmanuel? And then the resultant. This is all very well to Israel. God is going to manifest himself. Oh, this would spur the heart of a nation in bondage. But what more? What does it mean to us? What does the gospel mean to you? The Spirit goes on. Moreover, Moses, he said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel. Here, brethren and sisters, is the resultant of the Eyeh manifestation. Not the words I choose. The resultant. The late C.C. Walker puts it very powerfully in Theophany. And he was no fool in the world of literature. He points out that this is the resultant of the manifestation of the Eyeh body on the banks of the Jordan, my beloved son. The Yahweh Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Jacob, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob hath sent me unto you. Ah, the he who shall be, as distinct from the I will be, is going to manifest himself in the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No wonder the nation was spurred. This was none other than the Abrahamic covenant, expressed, expanded, unfolded. This is my name for the alarm. This is my name for the hidden period yet to come. And this is my memorial for a generation of the race. Not for the whole world, and not for the whole generation of Israel, but for a specific generation of the race. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel, says Paul, but the children of faith were counted for the children of the promise. There was the promise of the coming of the glory of the Lord. Moses, what a man. Never after the days of Moses could there be another revelation like this. Never was there. There was expansion, there was elucidation, there was a development, but never anything so powerful, so comprehensive, and so vital to the very foundations of the nation. And may I say, dare I say, vital to the Christadelphian body if you're going to survive as a separate people. This, the Yahweh of God manifest. And this was Moses speaking about the glory of the Lord. Exodus 33. Exodus 33. Now we're coming here to early days. The nation is brought out of Egypt. They're now in the wilderness. Moses had been 40 days in the mount, and he came down with the pattern of things in the heavens, and he found exactly what Isaiah said. Thy goodness, O Israel, is as the morning cloud, and as the early dew it shall pass away. They built the calf, as they did in days to come. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath devoured thee. Thy calf, O Aram, nearly devoured Israel. But for the mercy of God. And Moses came down. And Moses was distressed. And Yahweh said unto him, I want you to look at chapter 33, verse 13, in which Moses pleads for God, for Israel. And God said, I will make of thee a great nation, I will destroy the lot. And Moses pleaded. The man Moses, how few could have resisted this? That out of him would come. But Moses resisted him. What about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? It would still have been out of it, but he pleaded for the seed of Israel. The man Moses was meek above all men. Few could have resisted. But he was still disturbed. If I have found grace in thy sight, show me thy way. Do you ever feel like that, brothers and sisters? May I tell you that for 10 years, 20 years after I came into the truth, I was constantly feeling and feeling my way and saying, show me thy way. There was so much I didn't know, didn't. It was a question of honor. It was here a little, there a little. I found no rest to my mind until this living word became more and more the light on the road to the kingdom. That's what it should be on his own. Show me thy way. 81 years of age now. The great man. This is the great Moses. Yahweh said, my presence shall go with thee. He said, show me thy glory. Tell me, what are you like? What are you really like? I will make my goodness to pass before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy in whom I will have mercy. Stand in the cleft of the rock, and my glory shall pass by, but thou canst not see my face. Do we realize, brethren and sisters, how that great mind of Paul, the great Oriental and Occidental and other mind, how he lifts that out and puts it into Romans and says, what are you arguing about, O man, O Jew? What right have you to eternal life? Do you demur at the selectivity of the providence of God? Do you demur at the divine right of selection? He had every right to reject Esau. Every right to choose Isaac. This is the divine sovereignty and prerogative in the moral world. Thus Paul lifts it out and says, I will have mercy on... It's all of God. It is not of him that runneth, not of him that willeth. It is nothing to do in the ultimate with our own efforts. It's what God has done for us that is the basis of acceptation. That's the point. And this is what Paul is arguing about. He says, O man, like Moses in the wilderness, have you seen the serpent lifted on the cross? Well, look and live. And Paul says, when I look at it, I see the world crucified. This is what Paul's arguing about. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. So the truth wasn't sent to China in the first century. Of course not. Is there any reasonable demur? I will have mercy. Can the clay say to the potter, why doest thou thus? It's as simple as that. When we could be cold in death at the stroke, as our brother George Houghton was a few weeks ago. And then Moses went into the mount, he hewed the two tables of stone, this was his second 40 days. And up he went. The Lord descended in the cloud. Here's drama. Here is dramatic prophecy of the highest caliber. Great stuff. And he said, the Yahweh, Yahweh Elohim, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy and forgiving iniquity, and so on and so on. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Show me thy way. Is it all over? Because Israel does not believe and apostatizes and is carnally minded, and we said all that the Lord has spoken we will do, but look at them now. Is it all over? Is it impossible to work with the seed of Abraham? And the Spirit says, Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Of course there's a future for the truth. My divine purpose on Abram will yet be realized. And he showed him in dramatic prophecy here that his sister Lassius so beautifully puts it in that book, Yahweh Elohim, in the closing night of the Mosaic Iron, AD 70, 34 to 70, when the smell of death was around the holy and the clouds of judgment were everywhere and desolation was imminent, the voice was heard, Yahweh, Yahweh Elohim, abundant in mercy. And thus they went forth, the apostles, saying, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Because the Christ has gone into heaven, whom the heavens must receive until the restitution of all things. For them the glory will be manifested. If ever there was a prophecy that showed us the ministry of the apostles in the closing night of Israel's apostasy, then it was Yahweh, Yahweh Elohim. As John said, I am not he. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, make straight in the desert a path for our Elohim. That was the cry. And all flesh that is in Israel saw the glory of the Lord. I was mercy. And on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 souls received the mercy of the Lord, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread and prayers. Would you have known it but for Moses? How much you would have missed but for Moses? The great Moses. I want you to look now at Leviticus chapter 8 and 9. We're at the stage now when you come to Leviticus chapter 8 and 9. And this is important to understand. You are now on the 8th day of the 2nd year of Israel's coming out of Egypt. Moses is getting towards his 82nd year. The great tabernacle has been erected, and all Israel is gathered. Not only has the tabernacle been erected, but the hallowed priesthood has been washed by Moses. Because Moses was God to Aaron, and Aaron was Moses to Israel. He gathered Aaron and his sons before the tabernacle. He washed them. He clothed them. He anointed them into the blessed and hallowed priesthood of the Aaronic covenant. Selected. Elected. Washed. Clothed. And anointed. For without the anointing, there is nothing at all. And the great day came for the Aaronic priesthood to enter into office. We were this kind of thing in this country this week. But this was a different matter. 2 million people at least surrounded the tabernacle of God, the great prophecy. The tabernacle of God was with men. And what did Moses say? Do this and do that. For this is the day that Yahweh shall appear unto you. This is the day. Now, without going into the chapter, there were the consecration offerings and so on. The offerings were made. And then we come to the final offering. He took the people's offering. He took the goat. And he brought the burnt offering, and he brought the meat offering, and he slew the bullock. He did this, he did that, and he put the fat on the altar, and all the sacrifices were burning on the 8th day, and the smoke was arising to Yahweh. And there were the priests and the dresses for glory and beauty, and there was the venerable Moses, no longer a priest. The days of the priesthood of Moses was over. He was now exalted to the kingship. He was king in Yeshurun. He was leader, founder of a nation, warrior, mediator, the one who made the priesthood, the founder of an economy that lasted 1700 years. And now, rightly so, he was exalted even above the priesthood. They were indebted to him for their office. Moses was king in Yeshurun, a mighty man. And what do we read? Moses, Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people, and he came down from the altar and he blessed the nation of Israel. Came out and he blessed. They came out from the tabernacle and they blessed the people. The glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. The holy was filled with the presence of Yahweh beyond the veil. And there was the smoke and the fire ascending. The presence of the glory of El, the midst of Israel, appeared to all the people on the eighth day, came a fire. Just as they were watching this, suddenly fire from heaven came down right on the altar where the burnt offering was. And the burnt offering was always whole. And it consumed the offering and the fat, which when the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Brethren and sisters, what can be more instructive? What can strengthen your faith and your understanding more than this? Here was the end of the focal point of it all. This is what it was all about. My name is Eliebat, Yahweh Elohim. The burnt offering was none other than the Christ. And on the morning of the third day, the burnt offering was subjected to the fire, not knowing any other English word to use, because the burnt offering in the Hebrew is olah, and the word simply means, Dr. Young and others, that which is being caused to ascend upwards. Thus said the Christ to his disciples, the hour is come. And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. And there is the prophecy. The Son of Man, the Spirit, entered the tomb, took the body unto himself. And if the symbolism means anything, brethren and sisters, it means the transmutation. He died unto sin. Death hath no more dominion over him. It means the transmutation of flesh into spirit, by which transmutation there shall be no longer changeability. Look at us all now. Look what 50, 60, 70 years has done to us. Thus the change will come, which will bring in the unchangeable, and change will be our part no more. For this mortal must put on immortality, and this corruptible must put on incorruption. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, O grave, I will be thy destruction. O death, I will be thy forgotten habit. Hosea again. There is all there. On the eighth day, Moses, the man of God, nothing like it. The time goes on. The years pass on. And many things happen. Moses grows older. The tribes of Israel were 38 years in Kadesh Barnea. And what did they see? The plague that went by day and the terror by night. And those that had no faith to enter the land, oh yes, one after the other. 19 years of age was gone at 59. No longer 40, thus it was. Nothing over 20, nothing under 20, nothing over 20. The lads are survived. Thou turnest man to destruction, and you say, ye return, ye children of men. The beautiful psalm of Moses, the man of God, the 90th psalm. And this was the wilderness. And Moses saw this, and a new generation arose, that finally were to go into the land under Joshua. And the time came for Moses to die. And he was 119 years and 11 months. He gathered the tribes of Israel into the plains of Moab. A lot of people. And he gave the longest oration that's in the scriptures. Deuteronomy. or better still, the Mishnah HaTorah, the final address of Moses to the nation which he founded, 119 years, 11 months. And what an address it is, the book of Deuteronomy. I will read you here what is said in chapter 29. These are the words of the covenant which Yahweh commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab. And what wonderful chapters they are. He even speaks about the coming back of the children of Israel. We wouldn't know it but for Paul. And Paul uses these very words: it is not in heaven, it is not on earth. As John Carson so beautifully puts it, he said, in some peculiar way, the Spirit saw and prophesied through Moses the coming back of Israel at the end of the Gentile times, when they'll not ask, where is the word, where is this? And the second Moses will say to them through the ministers, there is no such thing as righteousness of the law. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that he's raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The gospel to Israel in the next 40 years of the second Moses. And the Spirit will say to them, there's nothing to do. Believe, 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 like Father Abraham, and thou shalt be saved. It's all been done. For what you and your ministers under the law could not do, God did. Therefore there's no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. But everyone was condemned under Moses. And so the chapters go on. The Lord said unto Moses, thy days approach, call Joshua. This was an emotional time. Joshua now was 80 years of age. Joshua was called, present yourselves at the door of the tabernacle. And Moses and Joshua went. And Yahweh appeared in the pillar and the cloud and stood over the door of the tabernacle. Can you see all Israel? He told them, he said, I must go. I'm going. My ministry is finished. I've been with you for 40 years, and believe me, not one would demur. The presence of this man was a deterrent to any form of iniquity or rebellion. He had too long moved in their midst with power for anyone to say, not so, Moses. He had the power of the Spirit behind him all the days of his political ministry to support that ministry. Thus thousands died because of the rebellion against Moses. Are ye not afraid, said the Spirit, to speak against my servant Moses? And then when Moses had made an end of all this, he says, I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourself. And then, brethren and sisters, he gives the final blessing. He's now no longer in the plains of Moab. He's scanning and peering into the next 1600 years and the 2000 years of the Gentiles. A prophecy of the whole tribes of Israel. Give ear, O heavens, my doctrine shall drop as dew. They have moved me to jealousy. Paul quotes this. He quotes it, brethren and sisters, and you know it. Beautiful how Paul understood all this. And then he goes on. This is the blessing of Moses, the man of God, wherewith he blessed Yahweh rose up from Sinai. And he goes on. And then finally, the last beautiful words of Moses, the fare you well. He says to Israel, there, can you see this mighty prophet, this bearded man, who would be stately, reverend, powerful, face shining with intelligence and wisdom and godliness. Something we don't see much of in our time. And in His excellency the clouds. The eternal ale is thy refuge, you see, he's looking down through the years. The eternal ale is thy refuge. And underneath this are the arms of the alarm, symbolical of the power of the deity to establish the alarm. And he shall thrust out the enemy. Israel shall dwell alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. For we true believers of the Abrahamic covenant, Abram, I will make of thee a great nation. All nations shall be blessed in thee. I will give you the land. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. He's speaking of Israel now. When they've come back, when the 40 years are over. Thou shalt be found, thou shalt tread upon the high places of the earth. I will feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy real reward. Moses, brethren and sisters, Moses, the man of God, never another. So Moses went up from the plains of Moab, and there he met the angel of Yahweh, perhaps a host, I don't know. And as the figure climbed and climbed, and gradually Israel watched, and the mantle fell on Joshua, the figure of the great man gradually became a speck. Finally, he was gone. To be seen no more. The end, brethren and sisters, of the world's greatest drama, in which the wonders of the truth were unfolded in a way we shall never fully comprehend. And there he went up. The Lord said to him, the angel said to him, Moses, look at the land. And Moses saw the land. But wasn't it fitting? Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? The heavenly cortege came to escort the Christ to the right hand of his Father. Churchill at a gate funeral. Oh dear, dear, it fades out compared to this. Here was the angel, that mighty prince, probably Michael. There he met Moses and showed him the land. And Moses, surrounded by glory and divine nature, there he died. And they buried him. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom Yahweh knew face to face. What an end. To what a life. What a royal cottage that laid him to sleep. And as a stately figure lay there, cold in death, the angels closed his eyes. And Moses was hidden until the time when he shall stand with his greatest son, the Christ, on Mount Zion.